Bro.
Thank you for assembling this evening. It's with my sincerest gratitude to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, for giving us this very sacred opportunity to be together in a holy place, to attempt to absorb ourselves in remembrance of the divine form and qualities, pastimes and names of the Supreme Lord. Lord Chaitanya, on his South Indian tour from Kanyakumari, traveled to Maladesh, Tamal Kartik in Vetapani. In that area, according to the chronology of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he met a tribe of nomads called the Bhattataris. Although their leaders they dressed as well as presented themselves as sannyasis in the renounced order, their purpose was to plunder, exploit, and cheat innocent people. One of the ways they did this is they somehow or other, by their powers, by their techniques, they would bewilder the minds of young girls and use those victimized women to allure, seduce, and trap men into their camp. This has been a great impediment to real spirituality throughout history. People who put themselves in the guise of religious leaders, but who have ulterior motives. And who live or teach irreligious principles. The result is common people lose their faith. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes tell us that the fact that there is a counterfeit form of money means there has to be real money. In the same way, instead of losing our faith in spirituality altogether because of counterfeit spiritualists, we could make great progress and receive great blessings if we, in our own lives, honestly, sincerely seek the essence the form of a spiritual path or a religion only has its value to the degree it helps us to realize the essence, the goal. Krishna tells in the Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja Aham Tvam Sarva Papibhyo Moksha Yishami Masuja. That the real goal of true religion, of true dharma, is to surrender to the Supreme Lord. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains the nature of surrender. Atapum bir dvijastreshtas varanashrama vibhagasha shvanushtatasya dharmasya samsadir hari tosha. Whatever our occupation, whatever our lifestyle, whatever rituals we perform, its purpose is to actually please Krishna. Krishna is not pleased with dishonesty, with ulterior motives. Krishna is not pleased with hypocrisy. Krishna is pleased with love. He is bhaktavatsal. He is bhavagrahi. He accepts the love in which we make our offerings. Through our words, through our actions, through our thoughts, through our lives. In Sri Navadvip Dham, there were many great scholars of Veda who were actually antagonistic toward true devotion. In fact, they considered Lord Chaitanya, his devotees, and the kirtans at Srivas Angam to be the greatest threat to their position. They were making a profession out of their scholarship, out of their expertise in performing religious rituals. And their qualification was very much based on their birth in very hierarchical Brahmin families. And here is Lord Chaitanya giving such prominence to Haridas Thakur, who by their standards was an outcast. Thakur Haridas, he was again and again being subjected to such hypocrisy, small-mindedness in the name of spiritual leaderships. When he would be challenged, one instance, he simply spoke the truth from the scripture about the glory of pure devotion. And one person in the assembly screamed at him, "Now I can see what the scriptures say is true. Kali Yuga has come. That truth and Vedas are now being spoken through the mouth of a low-class, condemned outcast." He cursed Haridas Thakur. Haridas is very humble. forgiving. He just very calmly said, whatever you're saying, but this is what the scripture says. I'm just repeating. Aho bhatasvapu chotogriyam yaj jivagri vartate namatubhyam. The scripture tells us, even if a person is born in the lowest material associations, if they actually take shelter of God and His names with a sincere heart, they could be gurus. They could deliver the world. But even very qualified Brahmins who follow the principles of their caste very carefully, if they don't have that deep attachment to God's names, if they don't have that pure devotion, they cannot even deliver themselves. In today's world, in the name of loving God, people hate each other, discriminate against each other, terrorize, murder innocent, declare wars, thirst for power, for control, for prestige. And thoughtful people come by and say, if we really want to give peace to the world, we should teach people not to be religious anymore. Now, from a higher perspective, this is extremely misleading. But for a person who doesn't have that highest perspective, kind of makes sense. The issue in Kashmir is really about being a Hindu or a Muslim. The issue in Israel is about being a Muslim or a Jew. In Sri Lanka, about being a Buddhist or a Hindu. The Holocaust, about being a Christian or a Jew. The Inquisition, about being a Catholic or a Protestant. Converting in Northeast India. It's not about any of these religions. All of this strife and conflict is only about one thing: ahankar, the material false ego. That's all. The ego, forgetful of its own eternal spiritual nature and its loving relation with God. And when even a tinge of love of God awakens in the heart, we feel compassion and respect for all other living beings. What to speak of people of other religions? Mrugari, he was a hunter, half killing animals. But in the association of Sri Narada Muni, taking the name of Lord Krishna, he became so pure in his heart that he was offering his sincerest honor and respect even to ants. When I say even to ants, We should take this very seriously. That means everybody else too. Because sometimes we, in the name of Krishna consciousness, we could be very nice to ants, but very, very tormenting to other devotees. Hitler was a vegetarian. And Himmler, the person in charge of executing millions and millions of Jews and other minorities, was a vegetarian who actually professed the principles of ahimsa. But it was very selective. We won't eat animals, but we'll broil humans. So a devotee, not only are we vegetarians, the reason we're vegetarians, ahimsa, is not to cause harm to any living being unnecessarily, including humans. Ahimsa means through body, through minds, or even through words, or even thoughts. We absolutely avoid causing any harm to anyone, physically, emotionally, or spiritually. So how is it that people in the name of God could be so unforgiving and hateful and judgmental? Great souls like Srila Prabhupada, sometimes they would speak the truth very forcefully, but with love, with compassion for everyone. If a doctor says to you, "You have a tumor, let me perform surgery to take it out," do you say to the doctor, "Why are you criticizing me?" He's criticizing you. He's not criticizing you. He's criticizing the tumor. Say, "This is going to kill you unless you get rid of it." So when Prabhupada would use strong language, he was just pointing to the disease that was separating people from their eternal spiritual loving nature. But he was saying with love, with compassion, to help people, not to destroy people. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to seek the essence. Sara Grahi. And that's what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established in his South Indian tour. Kiba Vipra Kiba Nyasi Sutra Kebinai Je Krishna Tattva Veta Siguru Hai. Whether you're from a low caste or a high caste, whatever your situation may be as far as social considerations, just take the name of the Lord and be compassionate to others by sharing that grace with them and be a guru. The Namacharya was Haridas Thakur. And Lord Chaitanya gave the position of the highest knower of the most intimate truths of the spiritual world to Ramananda Rai, who was a Kayasta, which was also considered a Sudra. And Lord Chaitanya accepted him like his guru. because he sought the essence. Puja is a very sacred activity. Worshipping the holy deity of the Lord. But Guru and Shastras warn us that even if you worship the deity very, very punctually, according to all the rules and regulations of Archana, if you're not kind, respectful, with an eagerness to serve the Lord's devotees and the people in general, it is kanishta. It is a very low grade, mundane form of deity worship. If we are performing yajñas, homas, sacrifices very elaborately, but if we're not conscious that that same Lord who is manifesting as yajna in the sacred fire that I'm offering hymns and mantras to is also in the heart of all living beings, and how that Lord loves his devotees so dearly, and I'm not eager to respect and serve, are we really pleasing the Lord? Real spirituality is about transformation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his South Indian tour, he gave people, as we explained the first night, what he didn't even reveal so freely in Navadvip. Because in Navadvip there were so many people who were following religious principles, and the more they became accomplished, they became arrogant. Humility and gratitude are the qualities that make the heart a fertile field for the seed of real devotion to grow. The Bhagavatam explains, when we get results from our spiritual actions, we should never use them for our own sensual, egoistic purposes. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya gave us this verse, Trinadapi Sunichena, Taror Ibasa Hishnuna, Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Could anyone who follows this be a terrorist? Could anyone who follows this principle be hateful to anyone? Maybe to the diseased, but never to the diseased. As we travel around the world, we find people who have turned away from spirituality because of seeing such heinous deeds and egotism in the name of God. When they're explained the essence, their hearts awaken, because ultimately, everyone is seeking that. And Srila Prabhupada, he struggled a lot when he came back to India, because there were certain orthodox beliefs, then in order to facilitate bringing people to the essence from other parts of the world, he wasn't so strict about. But he wouldn't he would not, as some people will not compromise their mundane religious rules, Srila Prabhupada would not compromise his compassion. So here were these tribe of sannyasis who were doing every possible thing illicit, and whose aim was to get more and more members so that they could control them and get greater, greater power. There's different types of greed. Some people are greedy for money. Some for power. You could be naked without any clothes whatsoever, living under trees, and be exploiting people, starve for power and control and fame. Lord Chaitanya's personal assistant was named Krishnadas. He was very simple and gentle, and he trusted people. Somehow or other, he was approached by the Bhattataris. And they bewildered him. They used beautiful young women to seduce him. And by their association, his intelligence was polluted. Association is so essential, cannot be overestimated. Sri Rupa Goswami gives 64 primary items in the execution of devotional service. And 5 are most important. And of the 5, the first is to associate with holy people. Because that association empowers us with faith and with grace, by which we can follow everything else. This material existence is very difficult to overcome. Daivihe shugunamayi mamamayaturatyaya. The 3 modes of nature are formidable. The one who takes shelter of the Lord can easily cross beyond it. And to take shelter means to follow what the Lord gives us. And he teaches us how to take shelter. It begins by associating with people who are taking shelter. Doesn't mean we hate others. We want to serve everyone. But in order to get the power to serve them, we need to associate with people who have that power. And from the opposite perspective, Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahurava Moktes Tamodwaram Yoshita Sanghi Sangam. By associating with saintly people, the doors to liberation are opened. And to associating with selfish, egoistic people, addicted to satisfying their own senses, the doors to ignorance are open. So poor Krishnadas, he was bewildered. He left Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association, allured by his senses and his mind due to this association. He was traveling practically alone with Lord Chaitanya. When we are in Sri Rangam, we will describe Lord Chaitanya's South Indian tour. Incredible things were happening. Every day, practically every moment, he was seeing Lord Chaitanya's transformations of ecstatic love and how he could transfer that ecstatic love into anyone and everyone's heart. He was seeing incredible spiritual miracles of devotion and compassion every day, every moment. We're just hearing about them 500 years later. And we're yearning, longing, praying that we could just capture a drop of it. And here is Krishnadas, Kala Krishnadas. He's watching it. He's living with it. 24 hours a day. Every house that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sleep in, every riverbank he would sleep on, with Kala Krishnadas was with him. How many of you would like to be in his position? Be careful. Kala Krishnadas was in that position. And his intelligence became so polluted that he left it, thinking there was something better. Puna punas charavata charavananam. And what was that thing that was better? It was what even the animals are doing. We see the birds. We see the cockroaches, the rats, the scorpions, every type of mundane materialistic person, everyone's enjoying these things of sex and ego. He left the personal, intimate, loving service of Lord Chaitanya. He abandoned the Lord for that. Dhyayato vishayam pungsang sangaste shubhajayate. The Bhagavad Gita explains the system of how progressively we disconnect from Krishna. While contemplating the objects of the senses, we develop attachment. From such attachment, kama, selfish, lusty passion. When it's not fulfilled, anger. From anger, bewilderment of memory. When the memory is gone, intelligence is lost. And when the intelligence is polluted, we don't know what we're doing anymore. He's here. Lord Chaitanya is chanting the holy names and preaching the beautiful glories of Krishna 24 hours a day. He left that to be with these dacoits, allured by the opposite sex. But Lord Chaitanya is so compassionate. Practically immediately, he's the super soul in everyone's heart. He knows. He knows that Kal Krishnadas left him without saying a word, abandoned him to join the Bhattataris. He was simple and gentle. But a casualty of bad association. The Lord went right to the camp of the Bhattataris to rescue his servant. And Lord Chaitanya, amani na manadena, he taught, offer all respect to others, don't expect it for oneself. He spoke so graciously to the Bhattataris. If it was a different incarnation, they would have been annihilated instantly. He said to them, why are you keeping my assistant? I'm in the renounced order of life, a sannyasi, and I require my assistant. And you are also all in the renounced order of life, so you should understand. Why do you cause me pain? Give me back my servant. That's quite polite, isn't it? But they couldn't tolerate his gracious and kind appeal. And they all raged with anger, picked up deadly weapons, surrounded Lord Chaitanya. From all sides, they ran toward him to beat him, to chop him, to stab him, to cause him pain. Now, Lord Chaitanya, he's Prem Avatar. He didn't pick up his chakra, he just stood there. He has his own ways. And the weapons in their hands, they wouldn't tolerate what these Bhattataris were doing. Suddenly, the knives, the clubs, the hatchets, whatever they were holding to kill and torture victims, they fell from their hands. Then they went into the air on their own and started chomping, piercing, and stabbing the limbs of the Bhattataris. They were really, really confused. Their own weapons were going. They were howling, roaring, screaming, crying. Some of them were being chopped to pieces where others were running away and the women were screaming, and it was really a scene. And meanwhile, Lord Chaitanya grabbed Kal Krishnadas by the hair and took him with him. He saved his devotee. Lord Chaitanya, he said, at another time, he said, blessed is the devotee who never gives up the service of the Lord. And blessed is the Lord who, if the servant does give up that service, drags him back by the hair. Tyaktvast dharmam charanam bhajam hader. Once we taste the nectar of the loving service of Lord Krishna, even if we do fall away, nothing of this world can ever compare. It's just a matter of time till we have to come back. Just by Krishna's all-attractive, loving nature, he drags us back. Param drispa nivartate, that higher taste. So Kal Krishnas resumed his service with a very clean heart to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya accepted it.
According to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita,
that night they came to the Payaswini River. Lord Chaitanya and his assistant bathed in that holy river and then visited the temple of Adi Keshava. In the last 2 days, how many of you have been to the Adi Keshava temple? How many are going tomorrow? A beautiful form of the Lord who is laying on Anantashesha, who is seen through 3 different altars. Very ancient deity with an ancient story, has been there for many thousands of years. When Lord Chaitanya saw the Lord in his role of a loving, pure devotee, he was overwhelmed with joy. He repeatedly bowed down, offered prayers, then chanted the holy names of the Lord. As he was chanting, he was gracefully, beautifully dancing. And all the people from all around, little by little, were coming. Utterly astonished to see the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chanting, dancing, gazing upon the Supreme Lord with eyes filled with tears, as hairs were standing on end, as limbs were trembling. It was a jubilant scene. In the temple of Adi Keshava, Lord Chaitanya discussed with very highly advanced devotees spiritual subjects. Machchata madgata prana bodhyanta parashpara. Katyantaschamam nityam tushyanti charamanticha. Krishna tells us in the Gita, this is real pleasure when devotees come together and share their love for Krishna with each other by discussing the teachings, the pastimes, the loving service of the Lord with each other, enlightening each other. This is the highest form of relationship. Not to get something from each other. Not to exploit each other. Not to enjoy various temporary thrills with each other. The deepest relationships we can have is when we enlighten each other. When we share our love for God with each other. And this is actually the test of how we are highly advanced. Or at least one of the tests. That this is where we get our pleasure. In enlightening each other. At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the temple of Adi Keshava, found the 5th chapter of the Brahma Samhita. This scripture is so old, so sacred. It was practically lost to the general population of the world. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, tasting the sweetness of Radha's love, understood the supreme importance of this scripture. And he found it in the Adi Keshava temple. As soon as he began to read and hear the content of the Brahma Samhita, he was overwhelmed with ecstatic love. Such transformations. As he was reading, he was crying, he was trembling, his hairs were standing on end. He was in total jubilation. Personally, the Lord copied the scripture to take it with him, to share with his devotees, and ultimately to share with the whole world. Brahma Samhita is said to be 100 chapters. Lord Chaitanya found the fifth chapter. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains how this is a supreme scripture which encapsulates the very essence of all Veda, of all knowledge, of all spirituality. It reveals not only the path of perfection and how to achieve it, but the highest revelations of the spiritual world and the most inner secrets. Within the Brahma Samhita itself, it describes how it came to be. Begins with the verse, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Everyone together very loudly. This verse tells everything. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains, Brahma explains, all the acharyas who are explaining, that everyone to some extent is an Ishvara, a controller. When you go by a house and you hear that's a dog. It's me. The dog wants to be the controller. This is my house. Get out from here. Yes? Otherwise, why are they barking? They want to control you by barking. This is my turf. Ruff, 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 ruff. Even I used to watch in the Himalayas monkeys. I'm not going to go into too many details. Since we're in Kanyakumari, it's long, long way away. But everyone wants to be a controller. The male monkey is thinking, this is my she monkey. And if somebody else comes, there's a fight. Sometimes there's a war over something like that. Insects.
everyone, to some extent, we're thinking, I'm controlling my destiny.
But Ishvara Parama Krishna. There is a supreme controller.
Tumi Sarveshvareshvara Prajendra Kumara.
Krishna is the controller of all controllers, the supreme controller. And his name is Krishna, which means all attractive, one who possesses all beauty, all strength, all fame, knowledge, wealth, and renunciation. All the things that are attractive in the world, Krishna possesses unlimitedly, eternally. In this world, whatever we have, we can only have it for a little time. Beauty is a great power, but how long can anyone hold on to it? Just like the waves of this ocean we're hearing in the background tonight. The waves of time. Time and tides wait for no man. Can't stop the waves. You cannot stop time. Even the most beautiful, lovely, charming people of the past they're either ashes we're somewhere around here in the sea being washed through the wind rivers or they're the food for insects under the ground. And wealth, fame, everything. You can't hold on to it. Nothing. It all slips through our fingers, however hard we try to cling to it. But Krishna's beauty, Krishna's wealth, Krishna's strength, it is not only unlimited, it's not only forever, but it's forever increasing. Krishna's Navayovanam Cha. He's always youthful. In the spiritual world, Krishna's forever in his ripe, blooming youth, as is Sri Radharani, his eternal pleasure potency, the feminine dimension of the Absolute. So, Ishvara Parama Krishna. Through Krishna's expansions, we learn in Brahma Samhita, he's controlling universes, he's controlling time, he's controlling the laws of nature, he's controlling all material and spiritual worlds. But above and beyond that, Krishna controls everything. By the sweetness and the beauty and the compassion of his love. Ishvara Parama Krishna. He's the supreme controller because he's all attractive. And for those who love him, he controls them through that attraction of his opulences.
Sachit Ananda Vigraha.
It's not that Krishna's body is just a temporary manifestation of the mode of goodness for the purpose of helping people to get knowledge and direction in life. And then that body just merges into a nothing, a formless state. The scripture says, Sachit Ananda Vigraha. His form, that beautiful, lovely form, is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. In other words, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who Brahma Samhita later explains, the effulgence from that eternally, supremely beautiful form is the Brahma Jyoti, or the eternal, omnipresent, omniscient light that is emanating and permeating all existence. Anadira Adira Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. It's the origin of everything that exists. The cause of all causes. The Gita, in the nutshell verses of the 10th chapter, Krishna says the same thing. Aham sarvasya prabhuvo matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my loving service and worship me with all their hearts. Lord Brahma so concisely begins this fifth chapter with such a powerful verse that illuminates the consciousness with the very essence of bhakti. And the very essence of what Lord Chaitanya descended to give to the world. And then the Brahma Samhita goes on to explain how this scripture was written and what its purpose really is. Therein it explains, it begins at the highest place, the highest planet of the spiritual world, Gokula or Goloka Vrindavan. This is an eternal place, the eternal abode of the Lord, which is like a thousand-petaled lotus flower. It's forever. And in the whirl of that lotus flower is the abode of Lord Krishna, who has just been explained, the all-attractive one. And he resides there with his eternal pleasure potency, his female counterpart, or Sri Radha. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains Krishna as the predominator and Srimati Radharani as the predominated, supremely. But how this works is so deep and so intimate, because by being supremely predominated, she predominates Krishna. Sri Radharani is the supreme lover. Krishna is the supreme object of love. They both eternally conquer each other by that love.
Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita that whatever is attractive within this entire cosmic manifestation, it's only attractive because it's a spark of my splendor. In the spiritual world of Goloka, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna are eternally performing their beautiful loving pastimes. And that same Goloka that is forever existing within the spiritual world is manifested within this world as Gokula Vrindavan. The Vrindavan that we often visit in our yatras on a geographical worldly map, it's in Uttar Pradesh, the country of India, between Agra and New Delhi. But how inconceivable that the Lord could manifest the same exact abode that's in the spiritual sky forever. So the Gokul in this world is called the manifested spiritual world. And Goloka is unmanifested because it is not visible to our mundane eyes. When Lord Chaitanya, the six Goswamis, and those who possess love of God, to the degree we have that love, when we go to Vrindavan, we're in Goloka. They are not different. But the Brahma Samhita tells, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena, when our eyes are affected by the love of our hearts, we could see the form of Shamsundar, the all-attractive, beautiful, flute-playing form of Govinda within our hearts. In feelings of separation from the Lord, we can feel His presence most powerfully. And when we go to Vrindavan, we could feel that divinity of Krishna's presence everywhere. But to the degree that love is absent, all the eyes could see is what the eyes are made out of: earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And in Kali Yuga, what people do to this earth, water, fire, air, and ether make it really polluted. Some people are seeing the Yamuna flowing with nectar that's sweeter than the Amrit of the Devas. The cows and the calves and the gopas and the gopis are drinking that nectar of the water of the Yamuna, which is satiating with the fragrance of celestial lotus flowers and beyond. The waters of the Yamuna are so fragrant, unlimitedly, infinitely aromatic. And we smell sewage. What is the problem? The sewage is there. On this level, but the nectar of the Yamuna of Goloka Vrindavan is there on a deeper level. And it's not a matter of deeper means you dive further in. It means deeper devotion. So Lord Brahma is explaining how
The Vrindavan in this world, the manifested Vrindavan, is non-different than the Goloka Vrindavan of the spiritual sky, which is eternally existing. And on the four sides is the area of Svetadvip, predominated by expansions of Lord Krishna in the form of Vasudev, Shankarshan, Aniruddha, and Prajumana. And Mahashankarshan manifests himself as Mahavishnu or Karunodakshai Vishnu. Brahma Smihita tells that Krishna is Rasa Bihari. He's the supreme enjoyer. He's engaging in most intimate loving pastimes with Sri Radha and all living beings of the spiritual world. Has no direct connection with material nature. Indirectly through his expansions, and indirectly through her expansions, Radha and Krishna are manifesting the material existence and sustaining it. So Krishna, who is the supreme enjoyer, when he intends to create the material world, through Mahashankarshan, he becomes Karunodakshai Vishnu, the Purusha avatar. And Ramadevi, or the pleasure potency of the Lord, manifests for the pleasure of the Lord as the Maya Shakti, the material energy. Mahavishnu glances upon the material energy. Within that material energy are the 24 elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, the gross elements, the working senses, the objects of the senses, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, mahatattva. But it's all in a dormant state. But when the Lord glances upon Maya Shakti, he impregnates time. That time activates everything. Things start moving. Things start going. And with his glance, he impregnates the cosmic manifestation of the Maya Shakti with jivas, with eternal living entities. Mamaivam so jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana. The jivatma is part and parcel of the Supreme or Krishna. The Brahma Samhita very, very clearly expounds Lord Chaitanya's explanation of achintya bheda bheda tattva. Inconceivable, simultaneously one indifference. Qualitatively, the individual soul that is giving life to ourself and every living being is non-different than God. In that sense, we are God. Qualitatively. Quantitatively, the Lord is Vibhu, unlimited. And we are Anu. We're just a part. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahunam yo vidadati kaman. There is one supreme eternal, and there are many, 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 many eternals. And those many eternals are always subordinate to that one supreme eternal. So we are one with God, and at the same time, our nature is to love God as eternal servants of the Lord. and we read in Brahma Samhita, the intimacy and the ecstasy that is available to all beings through that service of love.
So all the jivas who are in the body of Mahavishnu from the last lifetime of Brahma, they are all manifested again within the universal creation by his glance. And manifesting within the body of Mahavishnu are innumerable universes in the form of little seeds like golden eggs. And when he exhales, they come out of his body and become the universes within the cosmic manifestation. Then that Mahavishnu, he expands himself as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu to enter into each and every one of the universes. Mahavishnu is the super soul of the cosmic manifestation. Garbhodakshayi Vishnu is the super soul of every particular universe in that cosmic manifestation. And then Garbhodakshayi Vishnu expands himself as Kshirodakshayi Vishnu to be the super soul in the heart of every living being. That Garbhodakshayi Vishnu is laying in an ocean of milk in a place in this universe called Svetadvip. And from his navel sprouts a golden lotus flower. On the lotus flower, Atmabhu Brahma is born. Lord Brahma, by the will of the Lord within his heart, has a deep inclination to create. But he doesn't know who he is. He doesn't know what to create. He doesn't even know where he is. All around him is nothing but darkness. And there's no one else in the universe except him. How would you like to be in that position? To be the only person in the entire universe, and it's pitch dark. There's no matches, no torches or flashlights, just pitch dark. There's no one to talk to. Alone. In order to do big service, you have to be willing to go through a lot. Great things do not come cheaply. So Lord Brahma was, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, he's going up, he's climbing up and down the lotus flower, the stem, trying to somehow or other figure out, who am I? Where am I? What am I supposed to do? And eventually he comes back onto the lotus. And Brahma Samhita tells that the original goddess Saraswati, she speaks to Brahma. The original Saraswati is an expansion of Srimati Radharani, the eternal consort of the Lord. She tells him to practice spiritual association by chanting a mantra. And she gives him a mantra composed of 18 divine syllables, which begins with the Kama Bija.
Brahma accepts that mantra and meditates deeply on chanting. And through the grace of that mantra and the grace of the Lord within his heart, he developed an attraction for Govinda, the Lord of Vrindavan, and wanted to serve him, and wanted to please him. The Lord reciprocates. And through the song emanating from Krishna's divine flute came the Gayatri Mantra, the mother of the Vedas. The flute song of Krishna, which was filled with all knowledge, all realizations, entered into the ears of Brahma, into his heart. He chanted that mantra with his mouth and meditated on it. That mantra is the Kam Gayatri Mantra. The Kama Gayatri Mantra reveals the very essence of the most intimate, loving pastimes of the Lord in the spiritual world. Through Brahma's sincerity to serve and his constant recitation and meditation on the mantra, Goloka Vrindavan was revealed to Lord Brahma, the spiritual world, from the total bewildered darkness of desperation. He was now actually seeing Krishna's abode. What he was seeing, what he was feeling, what he was loving, he explains and reveals to the world through the next verses of Sri Brahma Samhita. Let us chant the next together.
Chintamani prakada sadmasu kalpa vriksha laksha vrate susurabira bipalayantam lakshmi sahasra satasambrahma sevyamanam govindamadi purusham damaham bhajami.
Brahma, the original father of all living beings, the original spiritual master of our universe, is sharing with us what Krishna is revealing to him. Chintamani prakata sadmas. The spiritual world, every grain of dust is chintamani. More precious than any jewel in this world or even in the heavenly abodes. Why does anybody want a jewel? Diamond, pearl, ruby, emerald. Because the jewel gives us a hope that it's going to satisfy some desire. Yes? Otherwise, why do we want it? Because they're considered valuable in the eyes of humans. Because they can fulfill our desires. But they can't save us from old age, disease, and death. And they can't even fulfill any of our desires, really. Because really, what we desire is happiness. And jewels just don't make you happy. Love makes you happy.
Therefore, Prema Bhakti, Lord Chaitanya said, is the Purushartha Siromani. It's the crest jewel, the ultimate jewel of life, is love of God. Chintamani means every element of the spiritual world under the jurisdiction of Baladev, the first expansion of Lord Krishna, can fulfill our every desire. The Brahma Samhita tells us this Kam Gayatri mantra that Brahma was chanting. For a pure devotee, it fulfills every desire. But for a pure devotee, there's only one desire: to please Krishna, to please the devotees, to please every living being, to love, to serve. That's the only desire. This is the consistent prayer among the great souls. Prahlad, Dhruva. Dhruva wanted the kingdom greater than his father or his grandfather or his great-grandfather. And then he saw Lord Vishnu, Prishni Garba. And Vishnu said, I will give you your benediction. Hari Bhakti Sudodaya tells that Dhruva said, I don't want it. I don't want anything in this world. I have you. I was looking for broken pieces of glass, and I have found the most precious of all diamonds, the greatest of all jewels, your loving service. Chintamani prakara shadmasukalpa briksha. Every tree, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, everything is connected to love, because that's really the only thing anyone truly wants, to love and be loved. The soil, the earth, the sand, the air, the trees, the cows, everyone, everything, whatever you desire, they fulfill all of our desires because they eternally increase your love for Krishna, your love for each other. Where there's unlimited gopis, and each gopi is more beautiful than thousands and thousands and thousands of goddesses of fortune. And the kamadhenus, the cows, a kamadhenu in this world gives unlimited milk. But the kamadhenus of Goloka not only give unlimited milk, but their milk, every drop of it, awakens ecstatic love within the heart. And this is just the beginning of the first verse. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read the Brahma Samhita, just a few miles away from where we're sitting in the Adi Keshava temple, according to the pujaris there, some of them at least, right across from the deity, there's a little area where Lord Chaitanya sat, found, and read and discussed the Brahma Samhita. He was so enthusiastic, he copied it. Now these days, you scan it and email it to somebody. But in Lord Chaitanya's time, you had to be serious. They didn't even have paper or pens. They had palm leaves or bark of trees that were processed through various very ancient artistic formulas. Just to get a piece of paper, you had to make it out of bark or leaves by processing it through natural ways.
It's not that you just send someone to the store to get a notebook.
On palm leaves and parched whatever he was using, and then you carve it in. You carve the letters. Then after you carve the letters, then you get some natural herbs. This is like an ink, and you wipe it over it and smear it, and it makes the letters a color. It's three-dimensional.
That's the way the Lord copied the Brahma Samhita.
Now we have so many books. And now, today's world, you don't even have to go to a bookstore anymore. You just sit home and type in on Amazon or something, and they send you the book right at home. And now you don't even have to do that, because books take up too much space. Now the book just comes, the book just comes complete, entire books right into your little computer. And now your computer goes into your telephone. You could be riding on a train in Moscow reading the Brahma Samhita. It's all very nice, but the question is,
are we any wiser or more realized or knowledgeable than those people who were just copying it by hand on palm leaves?
So whatever the form may be, whether it's a palm leaf copy for your own hands, or whether it's coming off a big printing press in a book form, or whether it's through, what is that stuff called? Digital literature. Really doesn't matter. What really matters is our lobha, our eagerness to hear, in whatever form it may come.
Lord Chaitanya was tasting the sweetness of the nectar of Brahma Samhita. He was weeping, he was crying, he was chanting, he was dancing as he was reading the Brahma Samhita. And he took that copy with him. And for the remainder of all of his travels of South India, he carried it with him. Finally, he came to Nasik in Maharashtra. And according to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's the second to last place of Lord Chaitanya's South Indian tour described. Then he went back to Vidyanagar, which is today Rajmundri, Kavur, in Andhra Pradesh, specially to visit Ramananda Rai. Lord Chaitanya traveled for 2 years through the southern, eastern, and western parts of India. And he kept two books with him, Brahma Samhita and Krishna Karnamrita. When the Lord met Ramananda Rai, he gave these two books.
He told Srila Ramananda Rai that all the wisdom, knowledge, and realizations that you shared with me is fully supported in these two books. When Srila Ramananda Rai and Lord Chaitanya read these books together, their hearts were filled with such happiness. Long ago, one of my godbrothers asked me, do you know in Prabhupada's books and lectures who he quotes the most? I said, Krishna.
So he said, you're probably right about that.
But he said, in my studies, and he did research, he said, one of the people that he quotes the most is Lord Brahma from Brahma Samhita.
Hardly anywhere that Srila Prabhupada or Acharyas do not quote the Brahma Samhita. Because it explains everything in such a succinct, harmonious way. The conclusions. What is the relationship of Krishna and us? What is the relationship between Krishna and Vishnu? What is the relationship between God and demigods? From the path of bhakti, the great personalities like Shiva, Durga, Surya, Ganesh. What is their harmonious, intimate, sweet role together? Ram, Narasingha, Varaha. How they are all in harmony. Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. And how the whole cosmic manifestation is working and its relationship with the spiritual world. It is all so concisely described in such beautiful Sanskrit poetry by Lord Brahma. And he was just right, he was just revealing to us what he was seeing. And Srila Prabhupada explains the Brahma Samhita was revealed by Brahma at the maturest, ripest form of his self-realization after being initiated directly by Krishna through the flute. And by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, millions of people all over the world have received it. Yes, visiting the Adi Keshava temple is a very, very special benediction upon all of us. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us that all of this knowledge is revealed to the heart that learns how to take shelter of the holy names. Even if we're illiterate, Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. Just as everything is revealed in the Brahma Samhita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, everything is contained within the names of Radha and Krishna if we chant with sincerity. I believe there's a performance of devotees from Manipur. Gaurvani Prabhu, could you introduce